Our scripture reading this afternoon is found in Romans 15, verse 16. Romans 15, verse 16. The title of this message, The Holy Spirit and Sanctification. Now, I'm going to read this verse, and it's a rather lengthy verse, but I'm reading it only to focus on the very last phrase. And so when we come to that last phrase, I will emphasize that and you'll understand what's going on. Romans 15, 16. That I should be the minister of Jesus Christ to the Gentiles, ministering the gospel of God, that the offering up of the Gentiles might be acceptable, being sanctified by the Holy Ghost. The two aspects of biblical sanctification are, number one, definitive sanctification, or the one-time setting apart of the believer in his regeneration, and two, progressive sanctification, which is the ongoing process that works in the conscious life of the believer. This progressive sanctification separates the believer more and more from sin and the world and more to Christ for His servants. This sanctification makes us like Christ. According to Romans 8:29, we are chosen in Christ and predestinated to be like Him. For whom He did foreknow, He also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of His Son. It is mostly at this progressive aspect of sanctification that we are focusing in our present series of sermons. Christ's perfect obedience and atoning death legally reconciled the elect to God. But God is holy as well as just. And everything in His dwelling place in heaven is holy too. According to Isaiah 6:3, the angels who minister to God continually cry, "Holy, holy, holy," in His presence. Unholy, unregenerate, unsanctified sinners cannot go to heaven. Whereas Revelation 21:27 says, "There shall in no wise enter into it anything that defileth, neither whatsoever worketh abomination or maketh a lie." However, the worst of sinners, by God's great grace, can and will enter into the gates of the holy city because they have been sanctified. Turn with me to 1 Corinthians, the 6th chapter. 1 Corinthians, chapter 6. Here in verses 9 and 10, Paul describes the kinds of people that cannot go to heaven. Unholy people. 1 Corinthians 6, 9 and 10. "Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived. Neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God." None of those unholy people can go to heaven. But now look at verse 11. "And such were some of you, but ye are washed, but ye are sanctified, but ye are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God." In today's message, we shall consider the Holy Spirit and His relation to the sanctification of a believer. In this message, we shall try to answer the very important question of what part does the Holy Spirit play in sanctification? First of all, God's Word teaches that the Holy Spirit is the agent of sanctification. The Holy Spirit is the agent of sanctification. Someone else has said sanctification is the office work of the Holy Spirit in connection with what Hebrews 13:20 calls the everlasting covenant. Now, I want us to think about this covenant a little bit today. Turn to Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 20. In the office work of the Holy Spirit is sanctification as the office work of the Holy Spirit in what Hebrews 13:20 calls the everlasting covenant. Hebrews 13, verse 20. Now the God of peace that brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant. Now we're going to focus on this everlasting covenant. Turn next to Acts 2:23. Acts chapter 2 and verse 23. Acts 2:23 says that salvation through Christ is through the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God. Him, that is Christ, being delivered by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God, ye have taken and by wicked hands have crucified and slain. Now this counsel of God here in Acts 2:23 is the same as the everlasting covenant in Hebrews 13:20. Let's talk about this covenant. From all eternity, God had a plan for the salvation of His people. We talk about the plan of salvation, and some people say it's as simple as ABC, and you know how that goes. That's not the plan of salvation. That's not the biblical plan of salvation. The biblical plan is this. From all eternity, God had a plan for the salvation of His people. And that plan was formed in the everlasting covenant. This everlasting covenant, what is a covenant? It's an agreement between two or more persons. This everlasting covenant is an agreement made before the foundation of the world among the three divine persons, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, concerning the salvation of God's elect. In this covenant or agreement, each of the divine Trinity agreed to do certain things. God the Father chose the elect who were to be saved. God the Son agreed to accomplish the redemption of these elect persons. And God the Holy Spirit agreed to apply Christ's redemptive work to the elect. Now, we don't have time, but we could go through and give scripture for all of those points. This work of the Holy Spirit, that's what we were headed for here, involved a number of things, including the regeneration and sanctification of the elect. In this everlasting covenant, the third person of the Holy Trinity agreed to sanctify those chosen by the Father and redeemed by the Son. The Holy Spirit agreed to perform the sanctification of the elect and ultimately to conform them to the image or likeness of Christ. The Holy Spirit agreed to present these elect ones to the Father, a holy people without spot or wrinkle or any such thing. In this covenant, the Holy Spirit pledged Himself to sanctify, that is, to make fit for heaven and for God's presence all those chosen by the Father and redeemed by the Son. The Spirit's work of sanctification is just as necessary and just as indispensable for the salvation of the elect as was the obedience and death of Jesus Christ. Now, I want to say that again because so many Baptists have downplayed the importance of the Holy Spirit and His work. The Spirit's work of sanctification is just as necessary and indispensable for the salvation of the elect as was the obedience and death of Jesus Christ. Without the Spirit's work of sanctification, the redemption of Christ wouldn't help anybody. Many scriptures tell us that the Holy Spirit works sanctification in the believer. That is, that it is the Holy Spirit who is the agent of sanctification. I want us to look at some of these. It is the Spirit of Christ and the Spirit of Him who raised up Christ from the dead who sanctifies us. Sanctification is the blessed work of the Holy Spirit upon the soul, whereby He internally makes the believer fit for his inheritance in the light, to use the words of Colossians 1:12. Our text in Romans 15:16 says that we are sanctified by the Holy Ghost. Turn to 1 Corinthians 6:11 again. 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 11. Another scripture that tells us that the Holy Spirit is the agent of sanctification. 1 Corinthians 6:11. And such were some of you, but ye are washed, but ye are sanctified, but ye are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. It says the Holy Spirit works sanctification. He is the agent. Now turn to 2 Corinthians 3:17-18. 2 Corinthians 3:17 and 18. 2 Corinthians 3:17 and 18. Now the Lord is that Spirit. And where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. But we all, with open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. You see, there it says we're sanctified by the Holy Spirit. Philippians 1:6. In that verse, the Apostle Paul is speaking of the sanctifying work of the Holy Spirit. Turn to Philippians chapter 1 and verse 6. Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians chapter 1 and verse 6. Being confident of this very thing, that He which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. That's talking about the sanctifying work of the Holy Spirit. 2 Thessalonians 2:13 says that God has chosen His elect unto salvation and through sanctification of the Spirit. Turn to 2 Thessalonians 2:13. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 13. But we are bound to give thanks always to God for you, brethren, beloved of the Lord, because God hath from the beginning chosen you to salvation through sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth. Sanctification is the work of the Holy Spirit. Now turn to 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 2. 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 2 speaks of the sanctification of God's elect as being through the Holy Spirit. 1 Peter 1 and verse 2. Elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father through sanctification of the Spirit. Sanctification is the immediate and effectual working of the Holy Spirit in the believer. Nothing but the supernatural working of the Holy Spirit can make us fit for heaven. All right, the second thing that we shall consider in thinking about the Holy Spirit and sanctification is the matter of how the Holy Spirit works sanctification. That is, how He makes the Christian less and less like the world, more and more separated from the world and sin, and more like Jesus Christ, and thus fit for heaven. Now, in last week's message, we saw that sanctification is a work in us, not a work for us. Justification is a work for us, but sanctification is a work in us. The power by which sanctification is carried on in a person is a supernatural power. It is the power of God the Holy Spirit. But how does the Holy Spirit work in a person to produce sanctification in him? And let me just say here, we don't know exactly how the Holy Spirit works sanctification in a person. There are many things that are mysterious about the working of God. We can never fully understand or explain the secret workings of the Holy Spirit in sanctification, or in anything else for that matter. You remember how the Lord Jesus tells us in John 3:8 that we cannot see the wind, but we can hear and see the effects produced by the wind. The waves moving, the trees bending, the smoke traveling. Turn to John 3:8 and let's read that. Gospel of John, chapter 3, and verse 8. The wind bloweth where it listeth, that is, where it wills. And thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh and whither it goeth, so is everyone that is born of the Spirit. Have you ever sat out on your porch and watch the trees blow, and you've seen that one tree will blow and another tree's sitting still? Ever notice that? And all of a sudden, one part of one tree will blow and get stirred up. And you wonder where that wind comes from and how come it doesn't hit everything? The wind is a mysterious thing. Likewise, we cannot see the Holy Spirit, but we can. And we can't see His working, but we can see the effects of His working by the conduct of those in whom He works. By the sanctifying work of the Spirit in a person, that person is enabled to live unto God and obey as God requires and God accepts. This sanctification is something fundamentally different from all natural habits. You know, people can be trained to be courteous. They can be trained to be compassionate. They can be trained to do a lot of things. But this sanctification is fundamentally different from that kind of natural habits, no matter how those habits are acquired or improved upon by a person. The Holy Spirit gives the believer power to live for Christ in holy obedience. The Holy Spirit energizes us to obey God's Word and conform ourselves to Christ's image or likeness. But, you say, preacher, you still haven't answered the question. How does the Holy Spirit communicate holiness in the work of sanctification? How does the Holy Spirit work sanctification in us? Though we cannot possibly understand or explain this work fully, there are, nevertheless, some things that God's Word tells us as to how He does so. First of all, in a general sense, we'll look at some general principles and then we'll go to some specific things. But in a general sense, there are two things the Holy Spirit does in working sanctification in us. For one thing, He destroys the body of sin that is called the old man. Look at Romans chapter 6 and verse 6. Romans 6, 6. The Holy Spirit destroys the body of sin in us, or what the Scripture sometimes calls the old man. Romans 6, 6. Knowing this, that our old man is crucified with Him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. Colossians 2:11 calls this putting off the body of the sins of the flesh. Romans 8:13 calls it mortifying the deeds of the body. Now, a second thing, we're talking about generally speaking, that the Holy Spirit does in working sanctification in a person is He puts the needed graces into the believer. He puts the needed graces into the believer. Turn to Galatians 5:22 and 23. Galatians 5:22 and 23 lists what it calls the fruit of the Spirit. Things which the Holy Spirit produces in or puts into a believer in Jesus Christ. Every grace in us is described here as the fruit of the Spirit. Let's read it. Galatians 5:22 and 23. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. All our virtues and graces are worked in us by the Holy Spirit. You know, there's some people that teach that you can have the Holy Spirit, but He never makes any difference in your life. The Holy Spirit never lies dormant in a person's soul. He always makes His presence known by the fruit that He produces in heart, character, and life. Where this fruit is found, there is the Spirit of God. Where these things are not found, men are spiritually dead, unregenerate. Now then, there are some specific things that we may know about how the Holy Spirit works sanctification in a believer. First of all, the Holy Spirit, in working sanctification in a believer, uses the written Word of God as the instrument of sanctification. He uses the Word of God as the instrument of sanctification. The instrument which the Spirit uses to work sanctification in us is the written Word of God, especially the moral law of God. Now, we'll get into that more in next week's message, the Lord willing. But turn with me here to John 17 and verse 17. John 17 and verse 17. Here the Lord Jesus prayed to His Father for His people. And He said in John 17, 17, sanctify them through Thy truth. Thy Word is truth. So the Holy Spirit uses the Word of God to work in us both to will and to do of God's good pleasure, to use the words of Philippians 2:13. The Holy Spirit brings to our minds the commands, the precepts, the doctrines of truth, and He applies them with power to our hearts and our lives. Have you ever been in a situation of temptation and a scripture came to you that said, you better not do this. This is sin. That's the Holy Spirit using the Word as the instrument of sanctification. By the Spirit's sanctifying work, believers are enabled to obey God's revealed will. In sanctification, the Holy Spirit takes the things of Christ that are revealed in the written Word and shows them to God's people. Let's turn to John 16, verses 13 through 15 here. John 16, 13 through 15. The Holy Spirit, in working sanctification, takes the things of Christ and shows them to God's people. And these things of Christ are revealed in God's written Word. Howbeit, when He, the Spirit of truth, is come, He will guide you into all truth. For He shall not speak of Himself, but whatsoever He shall hear, that shall He speak, and He will show you things to come. He shall glorify me, for he shall receive of mine and shall show it unto you. All things that the Father hath are mine. Therefore said I that he shall take of mine and shall show it unto you. In sanctifying us, the Holy Spirit furthermore gives us spiritual insight into God's written Word, especially into what God's Word reveals about Christ. Why can a Christian read the Bible and understand it clearly, and a non-Christian standing right beside him read the same passage and not understand it at all or get it all twisted up? It's because the Holy Spirit gives people insight, His people, insight. He takes the things of Christ and shows them to His people. He enables His people to understand and appreciate the things of Christ in His Word. The fact that the instrument that the Holy Spirit uses to sanctify His people is the written Word of God makes it of great importance that the Word of God be preached and heard. My friends, it is critical that God's people place themselves under the faithful preaching of God's Word at every possible opportunity, because God's written Word is the instrument that the Holy Spirit uses to work our sanctification in us. I'm always greatly concerned with people who let every little sniffle or every visit by Aunt Susie keep them away from the preaching of God's Word in God's house on God's holy day. I'm always greatly concerned with people who claim to be Christians and yet make their living by working on God's holy day when they should be under the preaching of God's Word, because it is God's Word preached and read that is the instrument the Holy Spirit uses in sanctifying God's people. How does the Holy Spirit work sanctification in a person? Secondly, the second specific thing, He prompts the believer as to that for which he should pray. Jude, verse 20, speaks of praying in the Holy Spirit, or praying as prompted by the Holy Spirit, is what that means. Let's turn to that and read it. Jude, verse 20, next to the last book in the New Testament. 1st, 2nd, 3rd John, Jude, and Revelation. Jude, verse 20. Jude 20. But ye, beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. Now, you know, I've known people that say that means you get in some kind of an ecstatic trance or something, and you're praying in the Holy Ghost. No, that means praying as prompted by or led by the Holy Spirit. Romans 8:26 is also relevant to this matter. Let me just read that. Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. According to Zechariah 12:10, the Holy Spirit is the Spirit of supplications, or literally the Spirit of prayer. As such, He enables believers to pray and make intercession according to the mind of God. How do we know what we should pray for? Well, if we pray in the Spirit, we are prompted by the Holy Spirit. Have you ever been thinking about some trial or some problem or some need, and it comes to mind what you should pray for? That's the Holy Spirit. Can be the Holy Spirit prompting you to pray as you should. Maybe you've been reading the Word and thinking about that problem, and in the Word you see, oh, I should pray for this. That's the prompting of the Holy Spirit. How does the Spirit teach us and enable us to pray? By two things. First of all, by giving us spiritual insight into the promises of God. That's how we know what to ask for in prayer. And secondly, by creating and stirring up in us desires for the preservation, increase, and improvement of our prayers. In the prayers of the believers, the Holy Spirit graciously produces desires and requests. So our prayers are an indication that the Holy Spirit is working sanctification in us. Now, what does that say about those of us who do not pray? You know, I really believe the only prayer some people ever say is, "Now I lay me down to sleep." Or, "Our Father which art in heaven." Brother, if you're praying, you're way beyond those things. If you're praying in the Spirit. Let me ask you a question this afternoon. Do you pray? Do you pray? I'm not talking about thanking the Lord for meals. We ought to do that. But I'm talking about prayer. Do you pray? Do your prayers seek for the weakening of sin in you until at length it's destroyed? Do you pray that all the graces of the Spirit may be increased in you every day so that you may be better prepared for all your duties and obedience? Do you have the spirit of supplications in you? If you are being sanctified, you have the Holy Spirit in you, prompting you to pray. The Holy Spirit lives in or indwells all true believers in Jesus Christ. I always have a red flag go up when I hear somebody ask me. I've had people ask me this: "Are you saved?" "Yes, I am." "Have you got the Holy Spirit?" As if that's something in addition to being saved. I always say yes. I've got the second blessing. I've been baptized in the Spirit. I've got all of that. But the Holy Spirit indwells all true believers. Either you're saved and have the Holy Spirit, or you're lost and don't have the Holy Spirit. That's all there is. That's the only possibilities. Turn to John 14, 16 and 17. John 14, 16 and 17. Here the Lord Jesus says, "And I will pray the Father, and He shall give you another comforter." Notice that's got a capital C. Christ was the first comforter there, and then He said, "I'll give you another one." That's the Holy Spirit. "That He may abide with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth Him not, neither knoweth Him. But ye know Him, for He dwelleth with you and shall be in you." That is, after I'm gone into heaven, the Holy Spirit is going to be in you. Now turn to Romans 8, 9. Romans chapter 8 and verse 9. This verse says that if the Holy Spirit does not dwell in you, then you do not belong to Jesus Christ. "But ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of His." The Holy Spirit work, His work of sanctification is truly a great work. I mean, we haven't even scratched the surface. It's truly a great work, far greater than most people seem to realize. Finally, in this message on the Holy Spirit and sanctification, let us consider the Holy Spirit and the believer in sanctification. Does the believer have a part in his own sanctification? Now, think seriously with me about that. I know a lot of people say, "No, he doesn't." Others say, "Yes, he does." And the believer doesn't have a part. Does the believer have a part? First of all, let me say that we do not sanctify ourselves. God is the one who sanctifies, specifically God the Holy Spirit. Look at 1 Thessalonians 5:23. 1 Thessalonians 5:23. I believe this was our text in last week's message. 1 Thessalonians 5:23. And the very God of peace sanctify you wholly. And I pray God your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. But we must not consider that sanctification is entirely a work in our subconscious. It also involves conscious activity on our part. The believer does have a part to play in sanctification. The Holy Spirit enlists our activity to the fullest extent in the process of sanctification. The believer is not passive in his sanctification. Look at Philippians 2, 12 and 13 here. Philippians chapter 2, verses 12 and 13. Wherefore, my beloved, as ye have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. They're already saved, so this is talking about their sanctification. For, that's not the end of the sentence or the end of the thought. For, or because it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of His good pleasure. That's such a key, critical verse or passage there. Sanctification is not a matter of God does His part and we do ours and sanctification results. It's not like that any more than it is in salvation. God works in us and we work. But the relation is that because God works, we work. God's work in us is not suspended because we work. Nor is our work suspended because God works. God's working enables us to will and to do of God's good pleasure. All working out of salvation on our part is the effect of God working in us. In sanctification, we must not rely on our own strength and determination. It is when we are weak that we are strong. The Holy Spirit uses means to work sanctification in us. In last week's message, we looked at some of the means to be used in sanctification. And we listed Bible reading and prayer and faithful church attendance and regular hearing and reading of God's Word. These are the appointed means through which the Holy Spirit gives fresh supplies of grace and strengthens the work that He has begun in a person. But in the end, we must not rely on the means of sanctification, but upon the God of all grace, specifically on God the Holy Spirit. So I would ask you in closing this afternoon, are you being sanctified? Honestly, do you have any evidences that the Holy Spirit is working sanctification in you? Let us pray. Now, Father, we're thankful for the Holy Spirit and His work of sanctification in us, especially as we think about His work of prompting us in prayer, of stirring up desires in us as to that for which we should pray. Father, we pray today that You'd help each of us to examine his or her self to see whether he or she is being sanctified, whether these means of sanctification are being used, and whether the evidences of sanctification are present in our lives. We pray that Christ would be glorified through this message and through this entire series of messages on sanctification, And it's in Christ Jesus' holy name that we pray. Amen.